in-office studios of his eye care practices in Nashville, Tennessee. It's As I See It with Dr. Jeff Kegaris, your source for eye care education and receiving the type of patient relationship you deserve. It is time for a patient revolution. And now, your host, Dr. Jeff Kegaris.
In our series on coronavirus, we've heard from the hospitalist, the pediatrician, and now the emergency room doctor. Many people want to know, what are we doing different in the office setting, though? Listen to episode number 4, where we talk with Dr. David Zimmerman, clinic director at Cool Springs and Donaldson Eye Care, to find out what he and our team are doing differently to assure safety for patients and staff. Today, we want to focus on telehealth and telemedicine with one of our key leaders in the practice, Dr. David Zimmerman. Dr. Z, David, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, let's get right into it. Let's start with some of the basics. What is telehealth and telemedicine?
So telehealth is a way to help take care of patients virtually. Everything from diagnosing, managing, to even sending in prescriptions, managing the health, and in our case, the health of their eye.
So in truth, people have been doing telehealth at this office for a long time because we refill contact lens supplies. We give people contact lens trials to get them by if they're anticipating their contact lens eye health evaluation, or we refill prescriptions, make exchanges in prescriptions for a generic or a regular Legend brand, etc., right? That's not really a new thing.
Yeah, we've essentially been doing telemedicine for years. We haven't been charging for it. It's just been in its inherent cost of taking care of the patient, but we've been doing telemedicine for a very long time, and now we're increasing our utilization of telemedicine during this time of a pandemic and social distancing. So we're expanding what we are doing with telemedicine.
So we've always provided this as a service to make it convenient for patients, right? Because we try to pride
Correct.
Ourselves and distinguish ourselves based upon an extra level of service, which includes how can we make this more convenient for patients. But now we have to reconsider things like how can we take care of some of the other things that we haven't been taking care of via web care or telephone care. And that would include things like red eyes, wouldn't it?
Yes.
My eye hurts today. Can I take care of that via telemedicine?
Absolutely. In some cases, we'll be able to do a synchronous audio and video call like Zoom or Skype or FaceTime in order to visualize the problem, talk to the patient about what's going on, how long has it been going on, what symptoms are they having, and in a lot of cases, avoid a face-to-face visit, but be able to have a good diagnosis and plan and help treat that patient without having to expose our staff, patients, and doctors to this potentially condition right now.
You know, it's interesting because one of the key things I learned in my training, and this is proven true, is that 90% of the diagnosis is made in the case history. If we ask the right questions, we listen to the patient carefully, most of the time the examinations that we're doing are more confirmatory than they are exploratory. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
And for that basis, we can do excellent case histories in conversation with patients, making medical diagnoses for many, many things without actually having to see them. I'm not suggesting that it's not important to come in for your eye exam or for your retinal exam, things like that, but some of these conditions that the doctor can decide, certainly by talking to our doctors by phone, either the doctor on call or during the times that we're providing urgency and emergency care right now, limited hours, but it's at least worth exploring because that keeps everybody safer by not having to come into the office and be exposed to as many people. Would you agree?
Yes, it's really a powerful thing that there's options of no care. There's options to go to an urgent care. There's options to come into the office and expose staff members for these prolonged exposure of me sitting in a room talking to you about it. And we're able to do this virtually and be able to hear what the patient's having problems with, be able to see their expressions if they're in pain. How red is it? What kind of redness is it? And answer all of those important questions. And the majority of things, as you mentioned, we're able to focus on in the case history and a confirmatory real-time audio-video approach talking with the patient.
You know, one of the things you and I've spoken about, too, is it doesn't necessarily have to be either telehealth or in-office, but it could be a combination. In respecting social distancing and minimizing time in an office or in another environment or with other people, we could even do a combination of the vast majority of history, intentional differential diagnosis, medical decision-making thoughts, but then have the patient come in for the confirmatory part, which might cut the total visit down into a third or 25% of what it would have been. And so in that way, you could combine telehealth for histories and medical decision-making with a confirmatory office visit that only takes 15 minutes. Is that possible?
Yes, and it may take even less of the amount of time actually for the patient into the office of total time, because we've done majority of it already. And now the confirmatory scans, pictures, microscopic examination with the physician could be on a much shorter term basis, confirmatory, and then finish up the counseling through telemedicine again, limiting the overall exposure of everyone. Things are changing, and we have to adapt with the times.
You know, we have long envisioned having a very active telemedicine, telehealth program for not only this area, but other areas outside of our community. But it's been limited somewhat by insurance companies being very, very slow to embrace this and putting up standards that are really onerous and saying, oh, but you have to do all of this. And by the way, if you spend 35 minutes, we'll pay you $7. I mean, just silly things like that. And yet, lo and behold, in the face of a corona crisis, all of a sudden insurance companies are lowering the barriers, aren't they? They're saying, you know, this is a good thing. Now it's okay all of a sudden. And so these things, not only these type of community outbreaks like this is unprecedented, obviously, but they force us to think of things differently. And it seems like they're forcing insurance companies to maybe look differently at about how do we provide care for a community rather than focusing only on care in an office, right?
Yes, it's really changing everything, how we think about it, how we think about the level of service you're getting. Because a lot of the time now, in the terms of social distancing, patients don't want to leave their house, and they have a condition that they're concerned about. It's their eyes. No one wants to lose vision. And we really are doing the best for everyone in order to take care of the patient's needs, but also participate in social distancing and keep everyone safe. Luckily, in early March, the guidelines and restrictions were temporarily relieved, and it makes us be able to take care of patients easier and their insurance company actually be willing to pay for that service.
And I think patients really appreciate that. I know we do also, because it enhances the offices that have developed a really tight patient-doctor relationship. You know, this is not something if someone just seeks episodic care here, there, transactional, whatever. This is very different. This is, I need to know you well enough that we have an established trust level in what I'm going to recommend, because I may say we're going to do this and then I want to follow up with you via telehealth, or I may follow up with you in the office. I need to know that we have a partnership together and you're going to follow the guidelines and I'm going to follow the guidelines, but together we can actually make care better and more convenient. So I think that's really important. So let's use a couple examples. And that is, let's say we manage a tremendous number of people with glaucoma or as glaucoma suspects, some elements that make them a little bit suspicious. I need to do an eye pressure check for my glaucoma risk. Can you do that via telehealth? Or how would you do it?
That's a good question. We have not encountered that right now. there are devices that are at-home devices that some insurance companies will approve for associated diagnosis that is very similar to the measurements we use here. That would be an at-home reading that the patient could do. Similar to checking their blood pressure at home or blood sugar, they could check their eye pressure, give us the number, and then we're effectively seeing if their glaucoma medication is being effective enough, tell them how frequently we want them to check their eye pressure. And then if we do need to do scans still, we could do those testings, but still try to ultimately reduce the level of exposure for all participants.
Okay. And because those are being developed or are already developed, they're also developing contact lenses, which become closer and closer to us being able to get an emailed evaluation of where pressure is trending all day long, 24/7, 365. But also I know that recently we've been pretty innovative, and some of the people with intraocular pressure checks, what we call IOP checks for glaucoma or other things, are coming by, and we're actually utilizing curbside service for that, aren't we? Where we can go out to their car, we can take a history by phone, we can go out to their car, check their pressure, and talk to them with them without them ever even having to come into the office. So again, that's kind of a combination of telehealth and minimizing time in the office. Agreed?
Yes, it's nice to be able to get the measurement, and that's the most exposure. Mm-hmm. Whether it's outside in the car or in the lobby, it's very, very limited exposure compared to being in the room with the technician for 5, 10, 15 minutes and then with the doctor for another 15 minutes. We're ultimately limiting the exposure to less than you would have at the grocery store.
And patients love that. Short of being a drive-through, which we need a couple more minutes than just you driving by, it's a really good option. But then again, hey, I'm the patient. I go, yes, but you've always stressed to me, Dr. Jeff, Dr. Zimmerman, that you need to look at my optic nerve. How can we get this done that way? Because I don't think we can do that in the car yet, right? So how would you combine telemedicine, telehealth, with also some aspect of getting a look at my optic nerve? How could that be done?
So with the technology that we have, we can take a nice high-quality picture, and we could evaluate that when the patient's not even in the room. And we already do that, but it would be, traditionally, we look at it with the microscope and look at the pictures and then document appropriately and look back at the previous photos that we can really study, and we use a microscope in real time. But in these times of social distancing, being able to look at the photo and check pressure and do it in a very limited time by the patient, have already talked to the physician, gets a photo, goes right back out, maybe checks pressure and gets checked out, and then the doctor is able to review those measurements and results and decide what the next steps would be to help manage that patient.
So if I'm on a glaucoma care regimen and I have 4 visits a year, you check my eye pressure 4 times a year, you do some special tests, and you have to look at my optic nerve, say, twice a year, we could even envision the possibility of 3 visits where we check your eye pressure outside and you pop in for a couple special tests, spend 15 minutes, and 1 visit that might be in the office for a little longer period of time. But we could even cut down the length of that time by maybe taking some of the history in advance, right? Again, I think this whole corona issue is causing us to reevaluate what is best for the patient and what is most convenient for the patient while still providing safe and effective care, because you can always go faster, but that's not better. What we want to do is we want to provide more convenient, more efficient, but same level of safety and care for our patients. Don't you agree?
Yes, and this time is really a paradigm shift. Ultimately, for the past 50 years, the level of efficiency and way things were done in offices and adopting technologies, going back from computers and electronic health records and on, it's been about maintaining efficiency in the office, keeping good records, and now it's a paradigm shift of we wanted them to have good face-to-face time in an efficient manner, and now it's changing. Well, we want to do as little as possible that we have to do face-to-face, but still spend as much time as we need talking, counseling, being there, developing a relationship, taking good care of the patient. But we don't want to increase a prolonged exposure of a person within 6 feet of us.
And one of the things that is a necessary evil, and everybody faces this when they go see their doctor, is the endless number of clicks on a computer or marks on a piece of paper. Hopefully everybody's using computerized medical records, but to be able to satisfy government and insurance relationships which quite frankly get in the way of the patient-doctor relationship. It's not what I would consider non-value-added time. The value-added time is when you as a patient and I as a doctor are talking together and I'm addressing the needs, wants that you have, your conditions, and we can take care of those. Not when I'm typing something in or having another person on staff that's typing while I'm talking. We do that to try to enhance the relationship, but this, you're right, this is really a paradigm shift in that maybe this gets us back to what doctors and patients really want is, more focus on the care. Documentation, very important, but let's make sure we're taking care of people. That should be the number one goal.
And I think that ultimately, as we continue down the telemedicine path, this will be the next step of enhancing documentation of, you want to know what happened there? Good, it's completely recorded, and I have a summary of what I discussed, and this is what's happening, and this is how we're going to manage it, and we can reference that. Mm-hmm. And there might be a summary of what's in that documentation, but I think this is going to change everything, and it's going to continue to evolve, and I think this is going to improve patient care.
Now, I'm not the technology expert, so I wouldn't know necessarily how to do that, but being able to have an audio file or an audio and visual file would be tremendously helpful, because so many times we're limited by what did we write down. And if we're a really good doctor, but kind of a limited typist, we may shortcut everything because, number one, the patient doesn't want to sit there and watch me type for 10 minutes, right? And yet, that's what we need. So we have a choice. We can either kind of be as abbreviated as we can, or we can put the chart on the desk and have a two-pass system, which is really inefficient. I see you, and I come back at the end of the day, and I still got a whole lot of work to do. We definitely don't want to have to do that. But in this way, it's being recorded as the care is being provided without... And that is just so much more efficient and more appreciated, I think, by patients and doctors. Now, on the contact lens side, we met with Dr. Jacobs, who talked about how we're providing some contact lens care to patients. You want to review that again? Also, I'm coming up for my contact lens eye health evaluation, but your office is only open for urgencies and emergencies. How could you help me so I don't run out of contact lenses?
Similar to we discussed earlier about your training of 90% of things can be solved with a good history, us communicating together, the patient and the doctor, about how are your contacts feeling, how are they fitting, looking at the eye, does the eye look red, how do they feel, how's your vision, do you have fluctuating vision, what are the symptoms that you're having, and then we could evaluate, do we think the contact's moving? We've looked at the lens in the past. We're not changing anything. Maybe we could extend until this kind of social distancing is over. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to change the way we're doing things to help patients' needs in the time that they need it versus we just have to do things the way we've always done.
Got it. So to recount, if somebody's coming up, they can get, if they're on a three-month basis, they can get a three-month supply of contacts, but make maybe a two-month eye health evaluation. We'll extend that for them. Or they can make a six-month supply of contact lenses with a five-month eye health evaluation with us. We're still accomplishing that, but we still feel like that's going to be safe. And then we know people aren't going to stretch their contacts. We'll minimize the chance of infection and problems, and we'll increase the patient satisfaction and their comfort. So, and they just need to call the office to be able to do that. Is that correct? Or email us.
Yeah.
Either way. All right. What about the full contact lens eye health evaluation? Have you or some of our other doctors considered even how could we do that via telehealth?
I think that's something we might even talk about that this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
but it is something that is all on our minds, and how can we push ourselves to use our knowledge, skill base, and be able to help take care of the patient, whether that's limited exposure or go based on symptoms? Just how can we use our expertise and knowledge to help make sure the patient's going to be doing as good as they can?
So innovation and improvement can evolve, and it always does, but it takes some time. So that's through evolution, but it can also come through revolution. And this unprecedented event has kind of caused a revolution, at least temporarily, but I think you and I believe maybe to some degree that'll have some traction and continue in the way that we provide care for the community, involving both office-based care, but also telehealth or telemedicine care for our patients. So, Dr. Zimmerman, I really appreciate you sharing some of your thoughts and some of the innovative things that you're doing to try to make care better and easier for our patients and safer for staff, doctors, and patients in this era of coronavirus.
Thank you. I think this is going to be, this has just accelerated what was already happening with telemedicine, that we were doing some things, but now the need of something was so precedented that we're having to change at a very rapid pace.
So if I am out there and I need some care, I'm going to recommend to somebody some care, what do I do if I'm in the Cool Springs or Donaldson neighborhood, which is a large geographic area?
You would just call our office.
All right. All right. So that's Cool Springs Eye Care at 615-771-7555 or Donaldson Eye Care 615-889-0147, or you can email us at patientcare@coolspringseyecare.com or patientcare@donaldsoneyecare.com. During the hours we're open, we will answer either of those. If we're not open, we always have a doctor on call for urgencies and emergencies and an answering service that will be able to direct your calls to us for the next day that we're open. So keep your eyes healthy, keep your vision clear, and be safe out there. Dr. Zimmerman, thanks for incorporating these innovative ways to make Cool Springs and Donaldson Eye Care patients get more than good eye care, a great healthcare experience.
Thanks for having me.
You and I both need to not rock. We're squeaking our chairs. You want to do one more?
Let me see what this text message says.
We're good?
Yeah, I'm going to try to go and do the... I'm debating.
Let's hold off. Cole, we're going to record this second one later on. I'm going to record for you just some other things, some outros, while Dr. Zimmerman goes and works on some stuff.
One thing, I talked to you earlier, Cole, that I need Dr. Jeff to just put a little blurb about when we were doing the safety in the workplace COVID-19 update. We were talking about masks. Well, as the CDC changes their guidelines, we change what we're doing. And so now we're going to be seeing patients with masks. We want the patients to come in with masks. We want to follow the CDC guidelines.
Good. And I recorded that a second ago, but I'm going to add something on the mask. So, Cole, add this on the mask part and say, a good example. A good example of this is the recommendations on wearing a mask. 2 weeks ago, even 1 week ago, masks were not recommended. We talked to pediatrician Kelly Davis and said, what if we only have one mask? Should we wear it or should the patient that might be infected wear it? And she recommended the patient that might be infected. But now the newer regulations are, or recommendations, I guess, less regulations, are if you have some method of protection, wear a mask, even if you have to have a homemade mask. So we like to ask patients, as an update to the previous podcast, when you come in for a visit into the office, bring a mask, make a mask, wear a mask. We have a few. We may be able to provide you one, but we don't have a lot. And if we had a ton, we'd be giving it to the frontline healthcare workers at the emergency room. We will be wearing masks. Don't be concerned. Nobody working here has COVID-19. It's for your protection and ours. For the latest information, again, on the updated recommendations, go to cdc.gov or call us at either the Cool Springs or Donaldson Eye Care offices. Cole, these are some outros. I'm going to move from Dr. Jacobs in contact lens telehealth to Dr. Zimmerman on overall telehealth. We've just heard Dr. Amy Jacobs discuss some of the innovations to provide enhanced care during coronavirus times to our contact lens patients via telehealth or telemedicine. Make sure to listen to the next podcast series where I talk with Dr. David Zimmerman about this entire topic of telehealth and telemedicine. What's the difference? And how are we utilizing telemedicine in an innovative way to take care of more patients now that we try to practice good social distancing habits? Here's another outro. This is about meeting Dr. Amy Jacobs. As an office that prides itself on personalized care, we respect our patients and believe strongly in the doctor-patient relationship. To that end, we'd like you to know our doctors even better. So join us next time as we find out a little bit more about one of your favorite doctors, Dr. Amy Jacobs, who practices at Cool Springs Eye Care and occasionally at Donaldson Eye Care. Join us for the next podcast and find out more about Amy. This is moving from telehealth, Cole, to the service hierarchy. You just heard Dr. David Zimmerman talk with me about the importance of telemedicine and telehealth being provided to patients. This illustrates a really important point when it comes to running a business, not only in healthcare, but in any part of the economy. And that is alignment. Are the people that provide the work, in our case, the people that provide the care, staff and doctors, aligned with the vision and behaviors you as a leader expect? That level of alignment is critical, and one way to accomplish that is to have a very clear-cut service hierarchy. We have that service hierarchy, and we frequently train on it, reference it, and connect our people's behaviors to the service hierarchy. Join us next time in the podcast on Tiger Talk, the K2 Way, where we discuss the service hierarchy and how it can help you minimize patient complaints and improve the type of care you and your staff deliver to patients. This is an outro from Dr. Zimmerman on telehealth to the service hierarchy, but it will be for As I See It. We just heard Dr. David Zimmerman talk with me about telehealth and telemedicine. It's important that our staff also knows what the protocols are and how we're expected to deliver safe care in this era of coronavirus. That gets back to how we run the business and how we set priorities. We have something called the service hierarchy. And we're going to review that the next time. Many of you out there are both patients and run businesses. How you gather and gain traction and alignment between your staff behaviors and your vision of the way you want to provide service and care is very important, but also demonstrated by continually training on a service hierarchy. For us, there are four parts to that service hierarchy, and we want to make sure that our staff and doctors know which one trumps the other. Join us next time as we talk about running a business, not only in the era of CoronaCare, but developing alignment between the staff and the doctors on another episode of As I See It.